Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping The Mandalorian, The Foundling, and this is a huge honor here today. Tommy couldn't be here last week, but he's back now in a big way. There's one little thing, though. He's not playing Tommy anymore. He's actually a new character. So I will bring on Killer and Beck. Hey, Killer and Beck, how are you?
I'm good. But Michael, I do have an issue, though. While I was gone, I went swimming in some living waters. And, like, would you believe me if I told you that, like, I saw in the waters Robbie? I just saw him there. And, like, it's not a dream or anything. I swear, Michael, it was real.
We're all blessed with a Robbie vision every once in a while. How kind. Oh, wait. Here he is. It is Robbie Freeman from the Kickball Friends podcast. Robbie, how are
you? Whoa. I brought you a couple of foundlings to train. So the group has grown.
It's like when you give, like, you're not supposed to give a pet as a gift, right? Like, that's just like throwing a lot of responsibility onto somebody.
Thanks for letting me crash at your place. I brought three mini dragons over. Just no big deal.
The thing is, though, I wouldn't even be surprised if Robbie did that. I would have more questions like, where did you find these foundlings? Did you just kidnap a bunch of foundlings? I have a lot of questions if someone just brought a bunch of kids or even...
I just murdered their mom and I felt it was important to bring them over. Wait, no, that's exactly what happened in the show.
That's the plot of the show.
Oh, I was getting ready for a rant if they didn't bring the foundlings. I was going to be like, they just left three children in a nest?
I honestly, like, I'm excited for that conversation because I still don't know what the better idea is. Like, what do you do there? Like, maybe they have a dad. Who knows?
I mean, it'd be a good feast.
Wait, you think the
Mandalorians could have a barbecue.
No.
See, what's different than what the bird did to... At that point, what's different than what they would be doing that the bird did? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think the birds are the protagonist. I'm on their side. The Mandalorian should have let that kid die. I'll save her at the top.
Grogu's new foundling classmates are these three dragon things. Like, they're going to be besties. They're going to have, like, a cool nickname for the four of them. Like, we all joined at the same time, guys. Like...
Are they going to get helmets too? Just anyone can be a Mandalorian. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's the implication, right? Is if you have enough Beskar and you can make a helmet, anyone could be. I thought that that's what they were implying at the end of the episodes, that these three dragons were now going to train to be Mandalorians. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think we're still waiting to find out if Grogu gets a helmet, right? Like, because with the ears and everything, like, how does it, like, you know? So, you know. I think that's step number one. If Grogu can get a helmet, then we have to ask, okay, well, what about the birds? Do they get giant helmets? It's all thing.
My real answer is I think the birds either get giant helmets or the birds are going to be like, you know, I'll say this so it gets Michael happy. Avatar, maybe it's going to be like Avatar-esque and they're going to be like, they're going to jump on top of these birds, train them to be their, like, their companions.
Yeah, this was the best episode of House of the Dragon, so that seems plausible in my mind.
Robbie, I'm going to call you out on something, okay? Because, I don't know, sometimes maybe you forget that I listen to your podcast, but you made a comment. You did shout us out, which I appreciate, but you're always like, I'm going to go in and I'll be positive, I'll be nice, okay? But here's the thing, Tom, I bring you here for your genuine opinion, so I'm going to break down these barriers right now. I want to know, genuinely, what do you think about this episode and this season as a whole?
It took me a little warming up in this season. I was kind of like, I came back and I was like, I had like not really continued watching Boba Fett. I think I came back to watch the Mandalorian episode of Boba Fett. Then when we came back and I was reading, like, I watched the first episode, I'm like, okay. It didn't really do it for me. It felt like, oh, I got it. Like, oh, I can only trust one droid. And then it's like, nah, I'll trust this droid also. And I just got very frustrated with some of the logic of the show. But ultimately, I've just kind of like chilled out on the show, just been like, this is like, I need to watch this like I watched Star Wars when I was like 12. And I'm just like, this is fun and let it wash over me. And the more that I do that, the better. And it didn't hurt that last week's episode was like a very Robbie positive episode in that, like, I was super into Andor and I was into, like, the Andor-ness of last week's episode. So getting back to kind of the adventure of the week episode here, I enjoyed it. I would say the stuff I didn't like the most was probably, like, the flashback stuff, which is probably the stuff that you're going to, like, nerd out on the most. But I am enjoying the season because I've just kind of, like, let it wash over me in a way that, like, I've noticed that these shows are not as good as I hope and dream they could possibly be. So I just want to enjoy them is my new motto with some of these.
Yeah, that's the key to Star Wars. Star Wars isn't meant to be podcasted about, like, because the more you talk about it, the more holes you're going to find. And you talk about the logic of it all. There's a lot of weird stuff in this episode too, where I'm like, what do you in the nest, he just pulls, like, some sticks over him to hide. And, like, how is that going to help? I don't... It's all weird. This is
why
Star
are these,
Wars, baby.
Why are these fearsome set of warriors living in literally an area where they're getting eaten by fish snakes? And, they're living in Jurassic Park and they're, like, losing. And they're just stay there. Like, this is a terrible location to be in. Move. Move anywhere. There's the whole galaxy.
And they don't pack extra fuel, like, somewhere on them. Oh, sorry, I'm out. He gets this every time. They always fly too much farther.
Yeah, are they losing a kid every single time that this dragon, did they used to be a clan of, like, 80 people and just, like, slowly, like, once a month, like, they lose one? They're like, oh, we didn't pack enough fuel again.
Hey, these are the same people that are just shooting blasters randomly into water with no targets. I'm kidding. I'm jesting. But I did actually like the episode. And I've been liking the season overall. I think what's not weird about this season, but it's the first season of Mandalorian that I feel like we don't have a direct, like, mission. You know, like, I feel like it was like, get Grogu somewhere. It was do all this. And now it's... But I'm not hating it because I like Mandalorians. They're probably one of my favorite things from the bit in Clone Wars and stuff. It's the stuff I always found most fascinating. So I'm like getting the lore here, and if that's the focus, great. But I also don't know how I feel about the fact that, Michael, I messaged you this earlier in the week. I think we have to be a pro-cult podcast now. Love the cult. We're pro-cults. All the cults up in here.
I will not. I will not. And honestly, Tommy, I wouldn't be surprised. And I think people have made the point on the podcast because I bring it up all the time that they're going to come around. They're going to be friendly. The armor is not the bad guy, but I don't buy it. Even if that is what they're trying to do, I will not accept it. The armor is a villain.
She's being so nice to Grogu. Gave him a nice little shiny giant
chest plate. Flav clock.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Isn't Beskar supposed to be rare? Like, where are they finding all this Beskar?
Yeah.
So I actually heard you, Mike, talking about the armor last week, and I had not put a pin on it, but when you said that, I was like, oh yeah, something just feels evil about this person. Like, she just, like, stands in front of a fire all day, like, giving instructions, and, like,
she has devil horns, dude, literally.
Well, have you talked about the theory? We're jumping all over already, guys.
The theory? Let's hear it.
I don't know too much about it, but I just saw it on the Twitter the other day.
Wait, is this your theory?
No, this is a theory that's out.
Wait, is this the one where the actor who played Anakin Skywalker in the prequels is actually playing this character?
No.
Now, I'm just making shit up because of the the Jar Jar Binks thing.
Got it! No, that Sorry. This might be one of the people from, I think it was in Clone Wars and in Rebels.
Death Watch, I think is what you're, yeah.
And there's specifically a woman I think that people are correlating could be her. But I also, what takes me away from that theory is the fact that, like, she would at least, there'd be recognition there, right?
Yeah, that's...
if she was talking like this.
Yeah. Yep. It's like the Superman glasses, man. It's just a small cover, and you're good. Go ahead, Robbie.
Tommy, Michael, what are you guys looking to get out of the show? Are you looking for it to, like, tie everything together? Again, I heard you guys talking about, like, oh, this is going to lead to why Palpatine got cloned or whatever. Or are you kind of approaching it as, like, oh, cool, Mandalorians fighting with each other and, like, teaming up. And, like, do you have a preference on the type of show that you get in that kind of vein?
I really don't. And here's my thing. I'm just on this jet ski with the show, and it's just taking me wherever it's going to take me. And I hear like there's no real like storyline here, but I think the fun of this show for me right now is figuring out what the story is. And it's these conversations we're having about the armor. And if you think back, they had like TIE fighters chasing them. Where did those come from? You know, it's like, I feel like there's so many questions out there. And like, I feel like every episode we get a little one answered every single time. And it's actually in some ways more of a mystery box than any other Star Wars show that we've ever gotten. So I really like that aspect. I'm excited to see more. And we got answers in this. We found out who saved Grogu. That was a huge question. And like, I feel like just, you know, again, I like Star Wars to be,
was who saved Grogu a big question? Like I could have told you it was some random Jedi that saved him. Is this a character we know from elsewhere? Okay, yes.
It is a big deal, and we'll talk on it. But there were a lot of theories, in fact, that were saying things like people thought Padme might have saved her, and there were like theories that R2 was involved. And there were even theories that Jar Jar Binks had some hand.
My brain would have exploded if that was actually Jar Jar, my brain would have exploded and I would have been so happy. And like, cause I woke up, this was a real throwback to like WandaVision times when you like, if you went on Twitter at 9 a.m., people are like, actor who plays Jar Jar Binks is in episode of, and I'm like, oh shit, I guess I know this now. But like, it didn't really matter, but Jar Jar would have been awesome. I guess it's more of a super fan versus kind of like normal fan kind of thing. Yeah. In that, like, I had no reaction when that happened, and I didn't really care to find out, especially the amount we found out. We didn't really find out that much. I'll stop talking now.
I
feel like I'm interrupting everybody. Tommy, please go ahead.
I was just gonna go back to the question real quick.
This is gonna be a messy podcast, and I'm here for it.
What do I want of Star Wars is just, for me, Star Wars was a complete story, right? We had the originals. You go back to, and I have this stance with like anything, whenever you reboot or remake or add a sequel to anything that feels complete, is it just should, to me, make the world meatier. It should feel and expand the world in a way that's good, answer questions that needed answered, or you know, maybe didn't, but it's cool to get those answers. And to me, I think where Mandalorian is focusing on, which I think is a good part, is Mandalore. I think that's a huge thing that really, unless you're like a big Star Wars and has dived into the books and done all that, there's not a ton out there. So I think this is a good spot for them, for the show, to focus on that, focus on building out those people and that world. Because I think for me, when Star Wars gets messy is when it tries to retcon things that don't need retconned, when it tells like the same story again for no reason, yep, just to make more money. That's when you lose me on Star Wars.
Yeah, I would say I'm going to be a little positive here, Michael, if that's okay. Like a big reveal for me was that Bo-Katan told us what she saw. Cause like I knew it was some animal. I was like, this could be any kind of monster. And she's like, this is a mythosaur. And then they like smash cut to like the logo of the mythosaur being like this big whatever. And you could tell by the armor that like this is a big deal. It's obviously a mythosaur, whatever. But like it lends credence to her. And then I was able to extrapolate. It lends credence to her being in charge and holding the dark saber and et cetera. And that's what got me going, because that felt like a thing that moved this story forward. I thought the Grogu stuff was just kind of like backfill that doesn't really change anything. Like if you would have flashed back to like Luke's training and be like, because I think my biggest problem at the beginning of the season was like, wait, he was with Luke for 2 years? What? It felt like he was there for 30 seconds. So like that's like the kind of stuff that does work for me as well. So it's good to hear that like we're kind of on the same page on that.
Yeah, and I think the Grogu will dive into that. I think they're trying to find the next storyline for Grogu. And I have a theory. This is one of my theories, but this is your teaser to keep listening. If we've lost you already, this is your teaser to not go yet.
Tommy, I don't think there's any order here.
You're not going out in sequence here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if this is like that surprising. I said you were at a hot theory. I don't know if this is that surprising, but do we feel like Grogu is going to be the next version of the Mandalorian Jedi? Like, I feel like it's even more clear in my head that he's going to get the Darksaber. He's going to get his helmet. It's going to look weird. He's got to grow up a little bit, I think, by that time. But it's like, I think he has to be, they've really been focusing on the Darksaber. We had to see that culminate into something. They talked about this idea of like this Jedi and Mandalorian combo and how it was so pivotal to the next, to bringing Mandalore to this greatness. The only person that could really be that for us right now is Grogu with the Force power. So is that even just a theory, or is that just we think that's going to happen? Because I kind of do at this point.
I just, even if he is an adult, how does he hold the Darksaber? And we know it's like, it's more difficult to wield than like a regular lightsaber in general. So like, I feel like that alone, the fact that it would look so goofy, no matter what size he is, maybe he could still be a Mandalorian and a Jedi, but maybe the Darksaber stays with Din.
So you don't think it? You think it stays with Din, and it's just like that's it?
I think so, and maybe Grogu grows up and trains Din in the ways of the Force.
So did where is the Darksaber now? I thought Bo-Katan has the Darksaber. She looked pretty chill using it. She kind of knew what she was doing. Yeah. Did she not like get transfer of ownership because she like beat him in battle, or like did she? It's just like still. It's still. I call him Mando. Is it still Mando's?
Yeah, it's still Mando's. She was able to use it to help save him, but like,
gotcha.
She doesn't get the honor of owning it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and that's another thing for me as well is like, you know, the mystery of, because Bo-Katan, and if you've watched Clone Wars and you know this character, Bo-Katan is not one to just give up on something she wants, and she wants that Darksaber, and I think something's gonna happen there, and I'm watching out for it.
It's so interesting because like my read of the show is so different than specifically what you just said, Tommy, is I don't see any of that happening. You think that he is going to be a Mando Jedi. I think he has rejected the Jedi. He's going to reject the Mando. He just wants to be with his papa. He wants to be with this guy who takes care of him. I wish this was a purely original thought, but I read Alan Sepinwall, one of my favorite TV critics, and he kind of talks that you can kind of see this where like even during the Mandalorian training, he's not really into it. He's gone through trainings before. He did 2 years with Luke. Like he should like Luke not Return of the
Boba Fett.
Not Return of the Jedi. The second one.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, in Empire Strikes Back, Luke is like he trains with Yoda for like what, like 3 months, 6 months, something like that. And like this guy, Grogu's been training for 2 years. He's rejected the Jedi. I think that he is going to reject Mando. It's going to be about those two coming together and being a clan, being that family, being that logo that they have of the kind of bison thing. That's just where I think it's going. I think it's less complicated than he's this supreme character that we never saw in the sequel. So how does this character exist in that also?
To say reject, I agree with a lot of what you said in the sense that I do think there is this interesting thing of like, there is that hesitation during the training. It's very clear that comparing it to Luke, you talk about Luke wanted that. There's a difference. Yeah. Luke wanted that destiny, chose that destiny for him. I think the difference is Grogu has this baggage and these scars that he has to overcome those before he can even get to the point of having a destiny. And so I think saying reject is where I'm like, he's still like, we see his sense of the Force. I think even if he rejects it or not, it's going to be with him. The crab was. I thought the crabs were gonna attack him. Those
crab rock things were really cool. I liked that kind of visual flourish. I thought it was like an interesting thing, a choice.
Well, I thought he was using the Force on them, and then they turned into crabs. I thought that was the fun. They played with our expectations.
Yeah.
But I do think there is something to. I think at some point this season or not, I think there's gonna be a point where he has to choose the destiny to save Jin or whatever. I think there's gonna be something where he is going to either choose that path or choose a path forward. But I also, to be honest, even as I'm saying this, I don't hate your theory that they both deject. Like, you know, he dejected the Jedi, and then we're going to see Mando reject this call. Maybe something happens like Michael.
Already seen him do it. He has gone against his creed by showing his mask to protect Grogu. And if he's willing to do that, I think it implies that down the road, he is willing to do something even bolder that might be anti-Mandalorian. Now, I hope we get the Mandalorian clan fighting together, because I think back to season one with that awesome sequence. So, like, I hope we get a little of that. But I think ultimately it's this twosome, it's this pair that is going to take us forward. And that
no
is
Bo? You don't think Bo joins them? I could see her being like the sassy aunt who's like there all the time and is like, ah.
Classic. I think say mommy.
I think she winds up being the armorer. I think she winds up leading that group. She becomes the alpha there. This is like projecting a lot further through, but like if I'm talking like two seasons down the line, I think that's her clan. She kind of like that's the big change in her kind of thing. But yeah, like all the stuff you said could be true also. Like I think it's pure speculation. It's just like, is it going to go super Star Warsy, super kind of like niche on that end, or is it just a character story where these two characters are family and they're going to end up together, and it's like any Western or any kind of movie where there are these kind of two kind of characters?
Okay, so we haven't dove into it completely here, but I do, Robbie called me out, I do have to nerd out over the flashback here a little bit. I think this is a big talking point. Tommy, we'll throw it to you first. What did you think about the flashback, the cameo, everything that happened to you?
I loved it. I mean, I think it was the right amount. It's not like a Book of Star Wars where we get a flashback that is basically the whole story is just in flashbacks. I think having a little bit here, seeing that, like, I think reminding us that Grogu has this baggage, that Grogu has this that's still something he hasn't overcome. The what happened to him, the trauma from that hasn't left him. I think seeing more of it shows that he has like progressed and stuff. And I think obviously clearly like getting this cameo is incredible. It's great. And seeing him back and in a role that he has played before, like we were saying, in a game show, but you know.
Yeah, it was a YouTube Kids Star Wars YouTube Kids game show where it's basically Legends of the Hidden Temple, which I kind of want to watch it. But
yeah. Oh, he hosted on Disney Plus, right?
I think it's on YouTube actually, but
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm confusing with something else. I was going to say, is this thing actually canon, or was it like one of these things that like was canon and then not canon and all that stuff?
Well, it came out during the Disney era, and it was kind of, he's playing a character on a game show.
Gotcha. Okay.
So he wasn't necessarily in world per se. But this makes him canon. So
that's to me, it's like when Disney World or Disneyland does those like little things where your kid can go up there and get trained by one of the Jedi. That's essentially how I felt like he is.
Fair enough.
So I'm going to lay my theory down. Tommy, I warned you that I had a theory. And we had a conversation on about this over text a little bit. And I still want to get some of your takes on the podcast as well. But we had some differing opinions on whether or not this was a good sign that Jar Jar Binks would ever return again or not. And my gut feeling was, I think this is more good than bad. It shows that they have a relationship with Ahmed Best, and they're interested in working with him. I think the bigger hurdle is getting him to agree to do it. With that being said, there was something in this flashback that tells me Jar Jar is returning. It's when he flies back, he says he's going to go meet with some friends, and he lands on the platform, and it's weird. It's they're guards from Naboo. Who is the senator of Naboo? Jar Jar Binks. Or representative. Whatever he is. But that is the only connective tissue. You could say that maybe Padme had a hand in this, but she was so busy dealing with what was going on with Anakin and all that. So if there was any... I thought it was so weird. It's like, of all the people to come and help him, it's these group of people from Naboo, and the only connective tissue that I have from Coruscant is Jar Jar Binks. I think we're going to get more flashbacks like this, because I would like the answer, like... Because I think the big thing was, Robbie, and again, you're like, nothing really changed. I think the big thing for me is it tells me, number one, there is another Jedi alive. And so I believe that we're going to figure out what happened with them. It's probably going to happen with more flashbacks. But I think Jar Jar Binks is the reason that that Grogu was saved.
Me's gonna have to disagree with you, Mr. O'Rear.
Oh, okay, bring it on.
This means nothing. I will say, I understand what you're saying with the Padma thing, with the world, but this character was coming to rescue anyone. He was not specifically going to rescue Grogu. Like, Grogu was not a special Jedi Padawan. He was shit, every Jedi's being killed. I'm going to go help at the temple. And this is just who we happen to get. So I think at best we're getting a tangential connection to say this guy happened to work for him. Second thing is, we have no idea whether this guy is still alive. As soon as Grogu goes away, this guy could be dead. Second, people detest Jar Jar Binks. I think people of a certain age, us, I know you guys love him. I enjoyed that podcast with it. I love the idea of Darth Jar Jar is my favorite theory of all time, I think, across anything. But he's not coming back. It would be in the internet culture we have today, it would be Disney just shooting themselves in the foot for no reason. I just don't see it. Now I'll let Tommy give a more nuanced take on this one.
I think I'm almost in the middle of you both. I think we get Jar Jar back. I lean a little bit more animated. I think if we get him back, I think it would be in an animated show. That being said, Michael, I really like this theory, and I do get where you're if it's true, I'm not surprised because who else do we really know that would be on Naboo? I think I'm trying to think how it would fit and what would be the purpose to do it is the only thing.
Wait, isn't Padma dead?
Well, this is not in this flashback yet.
Yeah.
When she dies.
She dies after this for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shortly after, but after.
Okay.
Whatever does happen, I will say, I'm betting it was probably going to be pretty negative. We haven't seen, clearly Grogu had a lot of trauma, right? Or at least maybe I'm projecting, but I feel like there's definitely.
No, he's got repressed stuff because he forgot a lot of what happened. That was straight up
PTSD we saw. Saw the banging. Sorry guys, I'm blanking again. When we got a flashback recently to this moment in the same place on a different show. Was that it?
That was in Kenobi. And it was a flashback of the Inquisitor Reva being saved in a very similar way, actually.
But isn't it in the same exact cool place?
Connection. Yeah.
Like, isn't all this happening in the same temple?
Yeah, it's a huge temple, to be fair.
Okay.
Massive.
Yeah. Okay.
Anakin's also probably murdering Padawans. It's a massive temple. There's a lot happening here.
This is one of those things, if they were to do a recut, it'd be a split screen of all three of these things. This is on the same timeline, which I need
I
to see
that. See that. Yeah. No, I think so. Grogu has trauma, and I don't feel like we've seen. Don't get me wrong, a bunch of stormtroopers coming in or clone troopers coming in and killing people is pretty traumatic, but I feel like there's something else coming, and I feel like it might have to do with this guy. I don't know. I don't have any theory on this, but I'm ready for something sad, guys. I'm not ready, but something sad's gotta happen, right?
I mean, this is pretty sad. I see what you're saying, that it's hard to imagine this Jedi is alive much longer, and that's going to be traumatic for him as well. But I mean, you're saying that something worse than this happens to him? You watch all his friends die in front of him.
What if he gets betrayed by this Jedi? That's why he completely gets rid of the Force. That's why he hates the Force.
This guy drops him off at the doctor who's we going to clone him. This guy is also bad.
Here's the thing. Ahmad Best came here for a redemption arc.
Yeah, you're right. He's supposed to be a hero.
What if he came for the dark Jar Jar arc, though? He's like, I wanted this the first time. I'm going to get it with this dark Jedi.
When in reality, we know that Anakin probably killed him right off screen, right after the scene ended.
Yeah. Tommy, I'll jump to the side. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry for making it so jokey.
Tommy, you did say you had a theory though. Do you want to lay that on the?
Well, my theory was the Grogu. It was the Grogu theory. It was the Grogu going full Darksaber. I do think there's a lot of, instead of a theory, I guess I'll put out, there's a lot of plots that I can see developing. Obviously, I think I'm most fascinated by the Bo-Katan storyline, with this idea of her becoming obsessed with the Mythosaur. I really love this character. I will say it feels, and this is where I think we can have a little bit of a discussion, Michael, is does the character you mentioned earlier, the character feels a little different than the cartoon version, right? She feels a little too friendly at times.
I don't know if I get that. I don't know if I'm picking up friendly vibes. I feel like she's maybe more agreeable than she is friendly. Like, she seems to be going along with things probably more than she should. But I think the big difference is here the fact that she has nothing else. She's lost her family. She's lost her clan. She lost her castle. It's at this point, she's kind of just like going with the flow because she's like couch surfing right now. And she, like, she's not going to be like, you know, yelling at the person who's letting her couch surf.
And I hear you on that. I guess for me, it's like how quickly she is like cool with this cult, right? Like, she is the one that told us it was a cult. She is the one that told us to be like worried about this cult. And now she's fully in bed with them. Like, hey, I'm here helping you guys out. We're all kumbaya. But I hear what you're saying of like, she has nothing else. So what can she do?
I think really is she just saw a mythical figure. So like in her mind, she has seen a mythical figure. So this is like if Tommy, if you went out at your apartment and you saw a burning bush and it started talking to you and you're like, I'm fully sober, you might be like, wow, I believe in this whole God thing now. And I think that's what's happening to her, is that she's like, wow, like maybe I didn't drink any of this Kool-Aid and I'm starting to believe it. Like, maybe I should drink it and see how it feels. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from her. I do think that I felt she was very curmudgeonly before the rescue, but I agree. It seems kind of quick that she's just like, I'm part of this group now. I think so. Like, I agree with you, Tommy, in that way, where it feels a little quick. If the essence of her character is that she's supposed to be like really anti all of this stuff.
I have another question, kind of off topic here. I want to talk about Paz Vizsla, the big Mandalorian. We found out that the foundling was his son, which I find this interesting for a few reasons, which again, you know, we're into like Clone Wars lore here and like going back to Tar Vizsla, who was the first Mandalorian Jedi. But like that family tree is very important. So the fact that he does have a son and that lineage is continuing is very interesting. My question is, who's the mother? Is it the armorer?
Maybe.
I stumped every. I mean, probably not, but there was a 2-year gap there that, well, I guess.
It was just the two of them for a bit. Where was this kid for a lot of the time? Weren't they like in the like.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense. But
yeah.
But that's my thing. It's like, at what point did this Mandalorian, who, by the way, can't take his helmet off, which means he's having, you know, he's reproducing with the helmet on, right? He doesn't take the socks off type deal. I just have a lot of questions.
Not if he's in certain positions, Michael. Come on.
I think that the mother is just one of the Mandalorians in the group. Just some random. Maybe we'll get a scene with her next time.
But I feel like the big thing was it seemed like it was a secret, right? It's like, is this part of the? I doubt that's part of the Mandalorian. Like, you can't have children. I mean, who knows with the armor these days? But yeah. It did seem like it was kind of like
that would be so Mandalorian to be like, you can't reproduce. Like it would just like, again, shooting themselves in the foot. Like, how are you going to get more Mandalorians if you can't reproduce?
Yeah, there may not be more to it. It literally could just be there to like give that connection to Grogu and Mando, right? Like, give us that. Look, this is another father doing everything for his son.
Yeah. And softening that character, because he, like, by his build, you're supposed to be like, he's bad, basically. So it softens him if you know that he's a father also.
Yeah, and he's kind of, I mean, in the show so far, he's always very critical of, always like, you don't deserve the Darksaber. He's a little bit of a curmudgeon.
I still think he's a bad guy. And I actually think they're going to be like the dark version of Mando and Grogu.
We're pro cult, Michael.
No, we're not.
Pro cult.
I'm dying on this. I mean, I will die on this not being joining the cult hill.
Do we think that ultimately this group is going to be the antagonist, or like, are we being set up for like a Moff Gideon return, like based on the last episode that we had, where like his underling like is clearly some sort of double agent, New Republic person kind of thing?
Moff Gideon's coming back for sure, and I think he's coming back this season. And I also believe that Thrawn might be accompanying him in some way. And maybe the armor stuff. Maybe that's like a next season issue. Maybe they do stick with the clan here. They fight Moff Gideon, and the next season they're like, well, maybe we don't want to be with this cult.
See, I think the flip side, I think Moff is next season. I think it's going to get teased this season, set up for next season. I think this season's going to be all about Mandalore and Mandalorians. And I think, to me, I know we're a pro cult podcast, but maybe the armorer is the one baddie who twists. Like, this whole time she's kind of been a mentor in a way, so we see that go away. And I do see an armorer bow maybe battle for the cult, like where Bo takes it over, maybe leads them towards a less cult. Like, hey guys, sometimes you can take off your helmet. It's okay. Where we get a newer version and she goes off to try to rebuild Mandalore and that starts to happen. And then maybe Moff comes back to attack Mandalore. And that's where like the big epic next season is, like all back to the Battle of Mandalore part two.
What's great about this is because I can see Bo-Katan becoming the alpha of this cult. Like, I can see her becoming the cult leader. I could see the armorer being subservient to her. Like, we even see it in this episode which ostensibly we're talking about, where they are sitting around the fire and they go, oh, we have to go eat and take off our masks and go away. But, like, the chief gets to sit in front of the fire. And, like, she gets that spot real quick. Like, she's doing this. So, like, I can see ultimately kind of merging some of what you guys are talking about, like the battle for the dark saber, she's going to drink the Kool-Aid because of the Mythosaur. And that becomes our battle between Mando and Bo-Katan of like him getting expelled from this group because she wants full control and she gets power hungry potentially.
I don't think she's okay. I don't think Bo is going to be a cult leader. I think she takes over the group and makes, okay.
I think she's going to become the leader of this group. I don't know if she'll be a cult leader, but I think she's going to be the leader of this group by the end of the season.
Agreed on that point. I don't think she's going to be like anti-Mando and kick him out of the cult.
She's like worse than the armor. Yeah.
No, I think could you not see a storyline where she slowly like gains power and slowly gets a little jealous of the saber not being in her pocket and it not being in her thing and gets a little bit angry. Again, as I'm talking about this out, I don't know if it's as sensible because I feel like she does have a good relationship with Mando, but like,
I think her focus is now the Mythosaur. I think she sees that as her, the dark saber is gone. That's not her mission anymore. Someone else has taken that. So I think in order to get the power, to get the respect of Mandalorians, she now sees her option as, you know, they always talk about the Mythosaur. Riding the Mythosaur was the thing that peaks everything. And so I think that's going to be
I don't know this. So what is the deal with the Mythosaur?
They kind of lay it out briefly before you actually see it. There was like a plaque on the wall and they talked about how Mandalore the Great tamed the Mythosaur, and it was this mystical creature that everybody believes to be extinct now, or I believe some people don't even believe it actually exists. I think the best way to describe it is like I don't know,
it's Game of Thrones. It's basically dragons. I don't mean to belittle it. Like, I think it's the simplest like comparison. It becomes a huge power, a huge weapon, and everyone is probably attracted to this. Like, if she's riding a Mythosaur, she becomes in charge, basically.
Yeah, so I think that's where it's going to go more than her fighting for the Darksaber.
That makes more sense. I agree.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was so built up, and we even got her talking about at the beginning, and I feel like I have to talk on it because I've kind of been ringing this bell also, that, you know, I'm not ruling it out. Maybe she's distracted right now by the Mythosaur, but, you know, I see what y'all are saying. I feel like it's less likely now, and I've heard the Punch of Chewy podcast, who was a guest on here, they had mentioned that, like, Bo-Katan's going to realize that Din is the most deserving person to have it, which I feel like that would be a good character arc for her. So that stuff is a possibility, but I'm not ruling it out because I think it would be cool to see Bo and Din fight. Okay.
100%. What if they just get marriage where they, him holding the dark saber, her on the Mythosaur. And it's like this you want to listen to us separately, but together, will we finally be under one rule, basically.
I like that too.
So. Makes me happy.
I'm trying to think here. What else have we not talked on? There was a fun scene at the beginning with him training. We kind of talked about it. But what did you guys think about, like, him with the darts and, you know, kind of Karate Kid failing and then, like, comes out at the end and does, like, a flip and wins the duel, I guess. But, yeah, what y'all think of this?
Felt a little cheating that he just shot all three at once. I mean, the other kid gave him time in between. The other kid could have shot him three times in a row in the beginning, too. I thought this was cute. I liked the Bo. To me, the biggest – I really liked seeing his relationship with Bo and how she has, like, softened to him and is, like – like, I like the little bar of, like, my dad was like this, too. Like, he's just impressed. Like, I love their, like, little trio right now.
Seems like an unfair fight to me. You're putting a little kid, a baby Mando, in a fight versus someone who can operate the Force. Also, in reality, this guy is what, like 68 years old? We're talking actual age here. Now, I think that, yeah, I thought that whole sequence was really fun. It's cool to just, like, see them do Mandalorian stuff. It's like, we're going to train with this and we're going to train with that. And just, like, you can imagine playing with toys in the way that this whole, they're like, there's like, you have like 15 Mandalorians and you're like, some of them are going to be flying and then some of them are shooting darts and et cetera. So, like, I got that vibe watching it, which was, like, fun. And, like, when I talk about letting it wash over you, that was fun to me. And I just let it wash over me.
Yeah. Okay. So what about the ultimate fight? I'm just, like, picking out small things we haven't truly touched on. What about the ultimate fight at the end in the nest with the giant? I thought this was really awesome. You know, seeing Bo-Katan flying up, trying to, like, grab little Ragnar's hand. The fact that Ragnar was regurgitated. How long was he in there? The whole time?
I guess. I mean, listen. If I'm a bird and I have a, like, basically, like, bag of holding in my tummy, I guess I'm throwing a bunch of foundlings in there.
But the bird, like, what was he doing? Present, like, oh, now I'm going to, like, spit up.
Yeah, because you get it. It's like a bird feeding, where they, but they would have chewed the food. Like, he would have chewed the maybe, kid and gave it to the kids.
Maybe she softened. Maybe the stomach fluid, like, softened it up for the little babies.
Very reasonable. I thought the whole sequence in the, like, the final chase sequence, not the first chase sequence where, like, they magically don't know how to catch him and, and lose fuel. But the chase sequence was really good. It was believable how they kind of, like, strategized in terms of, like, hooking on to the dragon, putting nets on part of it, shooting in different places. I thought it was kind of visually fun and interesting. And then I think it had that nice little payoff, which we joked about at the front with bringing those kids to the Mandalorian colony. But we disagree on what would happen next there. So I think that's the big question. Are they a meal or are they foundlings now is the big question.
Well, I'm going to add a third. What if they are force sensitive and all three become Grogu's Padawans?
They're actually the Jedi Mandalorian that you guys were talking about earlier. They're,
yep.
This was the origin story.
You know what? I want all three of them to get on each other's shoulders and then wear a giant Mandalorian armor, like a trench coat, like, you know, like when kids try to get into an R-rated movie.
I made a joke about this earlier, but, like, why are they on this planet? Like, why are they in this area with this giant snake fish and this dragon that is killing people, like, once a training session? Like, we have seen this place twice, and twice it is, like, an animal. Like, why aren't they moving? Why aren't they in a better spot?
Here's my what I'm throwing at you. Every planet is dangerous. I mean, just think about it. If it's Tatooine, you're dealing with the Tusken Raiders. If it's Dagobah, you're dealing with swamp monsters, you know. If you're in Hoth, you're just going to freeze to death. If you go to I'm running out of planets. But my point is, this is Star Wars. There's going to be monsters everywhere.
There's always going to be monsters.
There's always.
And if you're trying to be remote, which I think they were, like, they were fleeing and then created a new civilization here, I think there is something to, like, we've seen in Rebels too, where they flee, create a rebel base on a place with giant spiders. There's not a lot of options. You know, there's no real, there's no Star Wars realtor out there that's like, oh, let me show you the lovely remote animal-free places over here. So I think
that is reasonable. Like, so like they're hiding, they're running. So effectively, they have to do this. Okay, makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, but I agree with you. I mean, like, maybe choose a little, hide a little bit better. Maybe
or just be prepared for it. Like, put a net ceiling so that like things can't fly into camp. Like, I don't know. Like, think outside the box here.
Get some palm fronds.
Yeah, like, don't weave them. That's a waste of time. That's what I heard.
Yeah. What else? Any other tidbits you guys want to talk about? I do find we talked about it a little bit, but the chest plate, just very weird. It's not functional. It has like wires in the back, so it has some sort of electrical capacity to it. I don't know. I don't get the point. It's just, I guess
maybe that's the first piece you get.
Yeah. Maybe it's a tracking device. I don't know.
Do you honestly believe that she's evil? Like, do you honestly believe that the armor is like, everything is we will look back at the season finale and like we'll be like, oh, that's why she put the chest plate on him. And like, oh,
I was kind of joking about that specifically, but I do.
No, but like, I'm using that as an example. Like, is like something gonna, is it gonna be a Kaiser Sose moment at the end where we're gonna be like, oh, this was right in front of us the whole time?
Yes,
I don't think she's evil, but I do think her values and beliefs will never align with Bo's and slash where Mando's going. And so I think at some point we will get a point where that comes to a head. Yes. I think at some point, like, there's no way we can just keep not talking about the elephant in the room, you know? And I think like there is that part of like, she did kick him out at one point. Like, yes, he was forgiven, but it's like, he still took his helmet off. Does he take it off again? And then it starts this whole thing of like, well, sorry, dude, you're done. And then he's like, why? This is stupid. I saved your children. Is that like, I think that's where I see it. It's more of like, I don't think she's evil twirling her mustache, but more so like her values are never going to align with theirs.
I think that makes sense.
She's got a mustache under that helmet. I'm telling you.
All right, Michael, just like we're not going to get any baby adventure things of any kind, of any type.
Yeah.
Wait, can Grogu be part of the baby Avengers? Is that possible?
Robbie, don't encourage. Don't encourage.
Disney crossover.
It's never been explicitly said that what universe Grogu exists in and Star Wars exists in. Actually, I believe actually, I think we know it's in the same universe because E.T. is in Star Wars and E.T. comes to Earth. So, yeah, Grogu could be a baby Avenger. There you go.
You've heard it here first. No, I think overall I did enjoy the episode. I'm enjoying the season. Like, I think that's the thing. Like, regardless of, like you said, Michael, it's just fun. And, like, there's nothing – I haven't walked away from an episode like some other Star Wars shows where I've just been like, what am I doing? I think each time, like, I was enamored with the battle. I love seeing Mandalorians just fight. Just give me that all the time. That was fun to see them, like you said, with the bird fight and seeing them coordinate. Seeing the battle circle, seeing all that. It just, I feel like I'm getting a slice of, like, Star Wars history / lore. And if that's all this show is, I'm cool with it. I enjoy this.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fun. I'm in agreement, Tommy. I think this season is... it's really chill. Like, it's really like, it's fun. We had the missions in a quick way. Like, they could have been like, he's going to get a bath. He's going to go take a bath and it's going to take him the entire season to go to Mandalore. But we were done with that in two episodes. So like, that was amazing when that happened in my mind. I was like, oh great, we're moving on.
You're saying you don't want Mando to take a bath and then almost six episodes of the season is just spent him having flashbacks in said bath. And then two of those episodes are going to be about an entirely different character that isn't even the main character that's in the title of the show, that you wouldn't want to see that.
I wouldn't want to see that is what I'm saying.
Yeah, me too.
All right, guys. Well, this is so much fun. I do feel like since we have Robbie here, though, and I love getting all of Robbie's opinions, we got to do some recommendations, right? I don't have one. I always do this. I'm like, Tommy's looking around at like artifacts in his room that he can recommend.
I'm always like, what thing do I have that
would spark one. I've got two things. One thing is, I want to produce a podcast right now. There's a movie coming out. It's called Dungeons and Dragons. And I would love to hear a podcast on Star Wars with special guest Kelly W. That is my request. I want to see my dungeon masters, Tommy and Kelly, do a podcast with Michael. So that is my production request right now.
We may or may not have had a conversation about the possibilities of something very similar. I think we'll have to talk to your guest request.
We'll have to see it. And then I want to recommend a TV show that I watch. I watched the first episode tonight. It's going to be top on your Netflix queue probably by Saturday, if I had to guess, in terms of top shows. It's called The Night Agent. It's very FBI thriller, DC based kind of show. So you'll basically know in the first episode. It's got a 24 vibe to it where it's like the all American good guy is trying to save someone. It's going to be tops in Netflix. I wanted to be the first one to tell you about it. Check it out. It's called The Night Agent. You're going to like it if you like that kind of material.
Yeah. And if that doesn't sound interesting, do Agent Elvis, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Bobby, here's a question for you.
Sure.
I'm completely like, sidestepping your recommendation and harping on something else you said that didn't even matter. You mentioned 24. I'm a big 24 guy. I love 24. Yep. Why isn't the gimmick of TV shows playing out in real time? Why isn't that like a thing the same way that Groundhog Day movies are a thing? It's such a good concept that people aren't using.
They've done them a couple times. There's that like phone booth movie with Colin Farrell that plays out in real time. It's a gimmick that gets used. I think 24 probably wrecked the genre for most of those shows, especially with the actual ticking clock. But I'm surprised that we don't get more of those episodes a la like a Groundhog's Day episode or a very special crossover. But yeah, I can't tell you why. Let's talk to the people who make shows.
Should we do this, Michael, with Star Wars, where like I start a casserole in the oven before every podcast? We have an hour to do the podcast. If we don't, my casserole will be burnt.
That'd be fun, actually.
Yeah, everyone would be listening to the podcast and they'd be like, but he doesn't go to the bathroom ever. How does he like? When does he go to the bathroom?
Yeah, when does he eat?
They'll be like, it's 59 minutes and 40 seconds, and it doesn't seem like they're wrapping up. Will the casserole be okay? Oh, I could add a lot of suspense.
And if it burns, we get the sad music, like when Edgar died. Like beep, beep,
beep. And I have to present it and be like, here's my burnt casserole. This is what happened.
You got your first subscriber right here. I'm listening to that podcast.
Tommy, what about you?
Is it called Castle Wars?
I thought we were done with this, but yeah, Castle Wars.
Castle Wars, I'm into it.
All right, we're done with this.
Yeah. A lot of baby Avengers and Castle Wars going on here. Tommy, recommendation that's not a casserole.
Hey, everyone knows I've kind of been in my animation phase. I've been re-watching shows that I probably should have watched a long time ago. Just made it through Steven Universe. Still watching some of those episodes. If you haven't checked it out, it's really good. Steven Universe was way above its time and just an incredible show. But a show that is actually wrapping up soon, I have now started, is Owl House on Disney Plus or Disney. It's great. It's another one of those animated shows that deals with like fantasy vibes with, she's a human trying to become a witch and ended up in a magical realm. If you like that kind of stuff, it's pretty good.
I like magical realms. So here's my recommendation. And Robbie, I've already texted Robbie about this. I don't think I've mentioned it on the podcast yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is my second favorite reality show of the year that I watched. Outlast on Netflix is incredible. I love it so much. It's insane. It is insanity. I feel like the reason I watch reality TV, and I assume a lot of other people watch reality TV, is like to see like the depths people will go to. There's like sick stuff that happens on this show, right? They're competing for money. They're living in the wilderness. They'll do whatever it takes to win, and it gets dark. Like, it's dark, dark. Like, I really was completely fascinated by the characters on this show. Some of them are complete scoundrels in every sense of the word. If you like reality TV villains or, you know, debauchery, check out Outlast because it does it at its best, for sure.
Yeah, jaw on the floor some moments of that show. Tommy, have you watched it yet?
Tommy, why are you watching reality TV these days?
I don't know what it is. I just haven't, something hasn't, I need a show to bring back my love of, yeah. I think I've been a little scorned. You know, listen, animation doesn't hurt me, but applying to the 20th reality show does.
Okay, yeah. I get that. Very fair. Robbie, I've mentioned it already here, the podcast. You got to tell everyone where to check it out. One of my favorite podcasts always goes to the top of the feed. Robbie will post it. I listen to it immediately and then like text him my reaction. And like, I feel like such a dweeb. Like Robbie's like, this guy's like obsessed. But I am. I think the podcast is really good. So tell people about it.
No, it's called Kickball Friends. We were talking about it earlier. I hosted it with former guest of the pod, Jesse Skolnick. We talked through the top movies, TV shows, and releases. We are in busy season right now. Really excited to talk about The Night Agent this week, talk about John Wick 4 probably on Monday, as well as the premieres of Succession and Barry. So you can expect probably a long podcast from us this week. I promise it's a little less messy than I was on here, but not much less messy. And Michael, really grateful for your kind words. You always say this to me. I love when people text and respond to me. Hit me up on Twitter if you think my takes here were terrible, @Robbie_Freeman. Happy to talk to you and kind of just mess around. Good old Robbie mess around. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's always a great time to be here.
Yeah. Tommy, anything else you need to plug?
I like this. Send me messages if you don't like things. I don't know. I feel like I want more feedback of our episodes. I'm a call to action to our Stark Warriors. I want more feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know. I know some of these people. Luke, I'm going to call you out specifically. You hear this, add us, tell us about your theories. And if you don't, we're going to feel really bad and that you don't listen anymore. And that's going to make us feel sad.
I think my theory is, I don't know that Luke pays attention to the Star Wars stuff. I think, okay. And this will be fun. We'll see if we hear from him.
Yeah. And if not, we'll add him next week and we'll be like, dude,
yeah,
get on this.
but otherwise, I guess I think I pitched it last week, or I've definitely mentioned it, but now it's officially out, is I was on the One Indescribable podcast with our good friends, Adam, Todd, and Lindy. And we were covering Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Episode 8 of season 1. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, you can imagine there was tons of shenanigans. I made them go through laughter yoga. That was a whole bit.
I love that show. That's a show. Great show. Sad to see it gone. It's a great show. I love that the kid from Major Pain is in it. I always found that to be my favorite part about the, like, I would just be like, you're the asshole in Major Pain. That's amazing. I thought that show was really great. So I might have to go check out that podcast. Michael, you've never heard of Major Pain because you're too young, aren't you?
Well, first of all, I believe Tommy and I are the same age.
You're too young, Michael.
You're too, I don't know. Tommy's tastes feel like they skew older. I don't know.
Old man Tommy.
Old man Tommy.
Lucy Marathon on TV last night.
Yeah. Vita by Benjamin.
I don't want to get too far away from this because I do have a question. What is this show called again?
Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Okay.
I think you would hate it.
No, there's a movie. Yeah. I always think it's the movie whenever Tommy's mentioned it a couple times now. And I'm realizing now that it's actually a show he's talking about. It's not, what is it? Nora's Infinite Playlist?
So is it, that is a movie, but there also was a movie called Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas.
which
was the sequel season finale movie of this show. But you're talking about the someone in Zoe's Infinite Playlist, which was like one of those emo movies in like Scott Pilgrim era of time.
The basic synopsis, Michael, as quick as I can. It basically, Zoe, something happens. She gets these powers where she can hear people's heart songs. So the show is very much a musical show. Everyone's singing covers of classic songs, you know, expressing their emotions or how they're feeling about a situation. And then Zoe goes out to try to fix those things by her knowledge through her powers.
Okay, so Robbie was right. I would hate it.
Yeah. But you might not hate the podcast of us doing a bunch of shenanigans.
That's fair. I have a podcast I need to plug as well. I was on the Comic Boys podcast. We basically ranted out Star Wars and how to fix Star Wars for the longest time. If you heard Khalil on this podcast, he came in like a little rascal and made fun of Andor gave me trauma. I had much more fun on this podcast. We talked a lot of theories about where Star Wars is headed and how they could improve things. So if that sounds interesting to you, check out Comic Boys. That's on all the podcast apps and YouTube and all that. So
smack talking Andor should be banned. It's a great show. People are the worst who hate Andor.
I don't even think he disliked Andor. I think he was just being a contrarian.
Well, then I respect him more. Now I respect him more. That he was just being a troll.
It was honestly a classic Robbie move.
Yeah, classic Robbie move. You know who I hate? Grogu. This small little puppet. He's like, why? Like, what is he?
All right, Robbie, great time having you on.
What's funny is the same guy, Khalil, he calls Grogu the merchandise opportunity. He won't even say Grogu, so he is, again, a contrarian. So spot on there, Robbie.
You know who the best character was? Palpatine. Especially when they brought him back in the last movie. He was extra powerful.
All right. On that note, before we get way too off the rails,
a TV show about the Cantina Bunch. I want to see what they're up to when they're not playing.
I want to follow that band as they practice that song over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's going to be called the Cantina Band's Infinite Extraordinary Playlist. And it's going to be played in real time with a clock on the screen.
Oh no, like the casserole.
Oh no, it's 102. We gotta get out of here. All right, guys, I'm going to remind you to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're gonna be every single week. We've teased maybe some bonus pods coming up. Bad Batch is ending. We're gonna have to talk about that. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Star Wars Pod. And ask us for our Discord because we have a little Discord community going on and we'd love to have you guys. That is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Go get that casserole, Tommy.
Go, no.